Sometimes he does stuff and gets us in a place by his spirit, but your freedom, my freedom, God doesn't want us to live by miracles. He wants us to live by the word. And see, sometimes he has to do miracles, but sometimes you and I might not be in the place to get a miracle, but we're always in a place where we got the word. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. We want to be in that place. Open up your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll lay a foundation. And I want you to know tonight, I want you to say this with me. It's not too late. It's not too late. Come on, it's not. It's not too late. I feel like that there's some people in some dry situations, and God wants to, He wants you to know it's time to turn. It's time to change. We're going to talk about your, you may be in a current season right now where it feels like that things are up over your head. But you're fixing to come into a changing season. Amen? Things are going to change. And as you change and as you yield to the Lord and trust Him and walk in that, it's going to be a climactic season of God's Word coming to pass in your life. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Now notice that. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Now drop down to verse number 11. Verse 11, for sake of time. He, God, hath made everything beautiful in His time. Come on, do you believe that? God has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now drop down to verse 17. Verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time, notice this, there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for your prayers. Hallelujah. In this particular chapter, there's 31 times that the word time is listed. And the number 31 in Bible numerics, it means offspring. Why do we need to know that? Because the time that you invest in the Lord and the time that you see that He's invested in you, it produces in your life. It brings the offspring of the Word of God. The promises are true. And God has many things that He wants to, through Jesus Christ, to bring in and through your life, in my life. And so I want you to see right now, there's some things maybe that's happening in your life that you don't understand why. And you don't know how long it's going to last. You don't exactly know how you got where you're at. But it's time to turn. It's time to turn. It's time to trust God and to believe that that the only way that what you're going through and dealing with will not be productive is if you don't leave it at the altar. If you don't leave it in the hands of God. If you leave it in His hands, He can turn everything for your good, for my good, right? Amen. Romans 8:28. God can't lie. And so here you are tonight. You're in a place and a position where you've got to look at your situation. Instead of looking at your situation as something that is going to be detrimental, something that's going to end your hopes, your expectation of things being better, we need to come back to the Word and see what the Word says. So He says here in verse number 1, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Now, this word purpose from the Hebrew, it means ultimately, concretely, it means a valuable thing. In other words, everything that you're dealing with right now that seems so hard and seems so destructive and seems like there could be nothing good come out of it, it's a time that God is walking with you and you're walking with Him. And as you're walking hand in hand, you're yoked up with Him and He's yoked up with you and you're learning some things that otherwise you would never learn. Amen. There's some truth coming to you. In my own personal life, Don and I, we're going through some uncomfortable things, and as we're walking through this uncomfortable season of our life, I'm starting to realize some things that I was trusting in that had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. I'm starting to see that I had my faith in some things and some confidence in man and in the world. And if I wasn't careful, those were going to be a hindrance to me later on. Amen. So the seasons that you go through, they reveal where your confidence lies. They reveal where your trust is. All of these things, you and I, if we're not careful, we can get our focus off of God's best. But when we come back to the Word and we see that God says that this season, even though it's so hard on the body, so hard maybe on the mind, will, and the emotions, He said that to every purpose under heaven. Come on, God, there's a purpose for what's happening in your life. It's not just coincidence. It's not happenstance, because you don't serve a God that's hit and miss. You serve a God that loves you with an everlasting love, and He has a plan, an agenda for your life, for my life, to make it better. Do you believe that? Okay, so you're in this place where you're going through the time of life. You're going through this season. And I want you to be encouraged to know that no matter what's coming against you, from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed for you. Amen? And God, He set out an agenda, a plan out of His book for you that the devil wants to change, but you serve a God that is unchanging. Amen? Hold your place here. We may be back. Let's go to the minor prophet Daniel. Go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, here Daniel, he's interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, but we ain't got time for that. So I want you to see that it says in verse number 20, after he blessed the Lord God, Daniel answered and he said, he brought this revelation of this dream. He said, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Aren't you glad? We're talking about your God. Wisdom and might are His. Now notice this. He, verse 21, God, changes the times and the seasons. Come on, this season you're going through, this struggle that you're in, this battle that you're in, it's not forever. It's just for a time. But God says because you're in Him and He's in you, in this time, it's not going to be for nothing. It's a valuable thing. A valuable thing. You're going to come out as being tried through the fire. You're going to come out of it more pure. You're going to come out of it with more faith. You're going to come out of it with a better understanding that everything that could have been an avenue to get your mind and your focus and your confidence off of God, you see where it is and see what where it rates, and then you see God on His throne. Amen? And your confidence is now in Him. Now, this. And He changes the times and the seasons. This is what God does. He removeth kings and He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Come on, you need to claim that. Come on, He said He would give you wisdom and He would give you knowledge because you are wise and you have understanding. Amen? Because you have Jesus. So in this situation, instead of asking so much about maybe when, you need to ask Him for wisdom about what you're to learn out of this situation. What does He have for you? How is it going to change you? How is it going to empower you? How is it going to take you to the next season of life? Amen? And He wants you to see that He takes kings. In other words, the people who are unruly in your life and they're ruling illegally and they're trying to take God's place. They're trying to put you in a box and trying to say what you can do and can't do. God's going to remove it. He's going to take it out of your life because He's your King. Amen? He's your God. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And so He wants to be the one that you base every decision on. Amen? You're not going to be limited in having to do what somebody else says. You're going to make the decision because God's putting you in a place, in a position where you recognize who you are in Him because you've accepted Him as the number one spot in your life. Amen? Now notice this. Look at His promises. Verse 22. Your God, He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. You need to know some things tonight about your situation. Well, guess what? You can leave here in full revelation by the Spirit of God. You can leave in a place where the Spirit of God drops a word in your heart that brings light on that situation, and it's going to be progressive. In other words, it's going to bring peace to you now, but as you walk that word out, as you hold on, that light is going to cause you to be able to walk in a way and in a place that you never walked before. And as you walk it out, everything that the word was meant to create in your life and bring to you, it's going to be revealed. Amen. Hallelujah. That's your promise. That's the truth. Now, notice what he said. You've got to be in a place where you allow him to do it. Back in verse 21, and he changes the times and the seasons. You've got to be willing to let him shorten the season. You know, I told you before that in my own life, I have made things take longer than they had to. And so I want you not to make the mistakes that I've made. I want you to just to take and give everything that you're feeling, everything that you're thinking about this season, give it to the Lord and say, I'm going to let you change it the way that you want to change it. I'm going to let you do it the way you want to do it because you have perfect knowledge. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen? And so that's your confidence. That's your hope. Now, here's the devil that is coming against you. Here's the devil that's coming against me. Let's look at where they're talking about the Antichrist. Another message for another time. But turn over to the 7th chapter and look what it says. It makes this statement. Daniel 7:25. It says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now notice what this is what the devil wants to do in your life and my life. This is what the instead of Jesus would like to do. It says, and think to change times and laws. That word think would be better translate hope. That his hope is that he wants to change times and laws. Well, you have a God that is in charge of time. Come on now. And so those who want to follow the Antichrist, those who want to get involved, the world system and world religion and all those things that we don't have time to look at, it has no effect on you because you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? He's your confidence. He's your guide. And so when the devil starts trying to tell you this season is going to swallow you up, this time you're not going to make it, this time you're not going to hear from the Lord, this time you're not going to come out on top, that's a lie. Because that's what he's hoping you to believe. See, the devil, the only time he has power in my life is when I yield to his lie. When I take his lie as truth, amen? I've got to stand against what I'm feeling and thinking that is contrary to the Word of God. And I've got to embrace Jesus. I've got to hold on to the Word of God stronger than I've ever had in these last days, amen? You've got to have the Word. I've got to have the Word. And so we're in a place where we need to see that things happen in people's lives. People's lives get messed up. They get in turmoil. They get because we are living in a fallen world. Even though we can be redeemed out of this world, you and I, we still have to battle certain things. Amen. There's powers and principalities and all of these things that come against us. And so I want us to look at the Word of God tonight, and I want us to be built up and see what other people went through, but they still got a direction from God, and God's will was still done. Amen? It's not too late. Hold on to your promise. Hold on to your dream. Come on. Because you've done what Psalms 37 talks about. You have delighted yourself in the Lord. That word delight means that you've made yourself soft and pliable. Isaiah 64:8, he is potter, we are the clay. You've made yourself available to him. You delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Come on, you can't get a stronger affirmation in the English language. He shall give you. Why? Because those desires is what he's put in your life. So don't give up. It's not too late. Keep trusting and believing what God has for you. Go to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to look at an example to build your faith, to encourage you tonight. In Exodus chapter 3, we got Moses. And you know the story very well. But I want us to, we've got to hear the word. Because if we don't hear the word, we can't have the faith to be able to go to the next level. Verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Horeb meaning completely desolate. He come to the most desolate time in his life. Is that what you feel like tonight? Come on. Now, I want you to look at your life, and I want you to look at Moses. Now, think about it. Rescued, draw his name meaning drawn from the water. He was drawn from the water, and he was raised up the first 40 years of his life to sit on a throne. But during that whole time, he could look at his brethren. He could look at the rest of the Israelite people, and he knew that he had a call on his life. He knew that he was to be doing something different. And so you know the story very well. He gets down there in the midst of them, and there's trouble in the camp, and all of a sudden he kills one of those that are fighting, that are arguing with his brethren, beating them. And so he has to run away from everything that he had knew for 40 years. And so he spends the next 40 years here in this desolate place, this place where it looks like he feels like that he's missed God. And can you put yourself in his place, going from a place where you're supposed to sit on a throne to now that you're taking care of a bunch of sheep, and a place where it looks like there's no future whatsoever? But see, his season is fixing to change. It's time to look past what you see and to learn to be able to hear what God has for you. Amen? That's the key to everything. That's how we advance. Now, it says in verse number 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, we know this story, and we know it's taught in Sunday school, and we've heard it preached thousands of times. But I want you to see this is how fast your situation can turn around. You're in a place where it's horrible, where it's desolate, where it looks like there is nothing here for you. And at moments time, the pre-incarnate, in this case, Christ, can show up on the scene. Jesus Christ can meet you where you're at. It doesn't matter how desolate it looks. It doesn't matter how empty it looks. It doesn't matter how far you are from where you think you should be. In a moment's time, when you hear from "Thus saith the Lord," you could be right back in the place that was designated from the foundation of the world. Amen? But you've got to make a choice. I've got to make a choice. Look at verse number 3. "And Moses said, I will now turn aside." It's time to turn. It's time to turn. It's time to turn. It's time for you and I to stop trying to figure it out on our own. It's time for us to stop trying to understand some things and do what we've done in the past. It's time to turn and to see what God has for us. God has great and mighty things for you. He has things that you don't even know about, that I don't even know about, that He wants to bring into our life. And He's starting to give us just a little bitty glimpses, a little bitty promises that are coming to pass, little things to prick our faith, little things to cause us to have eyes to see of expansion, eyes to see of the great future that He has for us. But we need to what? We need to turn away from everything that we're feeling, everything that the enemy has said, everything that other people have said, and said, "I'm going to turn to see the fire of the Lord." Amen? We've got to turn to Jesus. He said, "I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw, notice this, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." You know how many times God has tried to talk to people in certain church services and they wouldn't turn aside? I've left here my heart aching because there was a word. But they didn't want to stop and hear what God said, because the devil was overwhelming them with everything else, and all they could hear and all they could see was what "Thus saith the limited one," when the Almighty, Omnipotent One is wanting to speak into our life. When God sees that we're hungry and we're looking, He's a God that wants to talk to you. Amen? He wants to talk to you and I more than we even understand. Now think about this. This is a changing... He went from a current season where everything was desolate to a moment of time there was the fire of the Lord that was burning in His life. You can leave here in a moment's time and everything that seems like where your wood is wet, where you can be on fire for the Lord. Hold your place here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. We'll be back. Let's look at, that's Moses. Let's look at John the Apostle, John the Beloved. Can you imagine John tonight? See, God's people have problems. Just because you're saved and on your way to heaven doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. Amen? Think about John here. Look what he says in verse number 9, John 1 and 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Now, he knew about tribulation. Now, think about John. He caused so much trouble by bringing a righteous word and a real word that they decided to get rid of him and boil him in oil. That's trouble. But they couldn't kill him because Jesus said, he told him, said, you're not going to die until you see my coming. Well, his coming was this what? Was the book of Revelation. Come on, because he was taken ahead of time. He has done seen what you and I are waiting to see. Amen? And so he had that promise. And so they tried to kill him, and they couldn't do it. The devil can't kill you tonight. God has a plan for your life. You need to know what the plan is. And when the devil shows every bit of darkness and all the storm waters, you need to reach out for the hand of Jesus and walk, let him help you walk on top of what's trying to take you under. Amen? Now, here he is. I want you to see him. He's on this island. He is on a rock. A rock island. He is there in a place where it is desolate, just like Moses was. And he has went from being able to preach the gospel and to be able to minister and be around God's people to where he's all by himself. Tonight, somebody in this place, you feel like that you're all by yourself and nobody understands exactly where you're at. Nobody in the natural does, but God does. And he wants to help you. And he wants to show you that he loves you and he knows right where you're at and he has not forgotten you. So here John is. And look what it says. It says in verse number 10. He said, I was in the Spirit. It's time that you and I walk in the Spirit. Amen. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a sound of trumpet. Now think about this. This is John the Beloved. He laid his ear on the bosom of Christ. He heard the heartbeat there at the Last Supper, remember? He knew the voice of Jesus intimately. But all of a sudden, it wasn't the voice that come out of a flesh body, even though he was a spiritual entity, but he was in a flesh body. Now, he's fixing to see Jesus like he never saw him before. Tonight, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm believing that you and I are going to see Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, like we've never saw him before. Amen. Come on, he's coming back. Yes, in a glorified, on a white steed, in a glorified body, flame of fire. But you and I, he's in our life. Right now, we need to see him that he has defeated hell, death, and the grave, that he holds the keys in his hand, that he is the one that is on the throne, and he's on your heart, he's on my heart, so why should we bow down to any lie of the devil? Amen? Verse 11, here's what the voice of the trumpet was saying. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what seest thou? Write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Now notice this. See what God's people does? John done just exactly what Moses did. Verse number 12. And I turned to see. And I turned to see. It's time that you and I turn away from the natural. Turn away from what we're feeling. Turn away from the struggle and turn to the one who has the answer. Amen. It's the season. It's the season of change. But we've got to get out of our current season. We've got to appreciate that God said that everything had a value, and recognize and realize that because God even owns your time and my time, even though it looks hard and it looks impossible, it can be blessed. Come on, what God owns, He blesses when He puts His hand to it. All right. And I turned to see, and the voice that spake with me, I turned to see that voice, and being turned, notice this, just like Moses, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In other words, he's fixing to see the church like he's never saw before. Now tonight, you and I, we need to see the church. Well, why, Greg? Why do I need to see the church? Because when you see the church, you see you. Because, see, Jesus said that He added to the church daily such as should be saved. He said that when He built His church, that the gates of hell would not, could not, cannot, what? Come against it. Glory. You are in a place tonight, in a position, you're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. Amen? That's who you are. That's where you're at. And so you've got to see the church of the living God, not religion. Not some building, but you've got to see what Jesus Christ, the head of the church, what He's building. But you've got to be willing to turn and to see it. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, don't get mad at me, but Lord, I repent for looking at what I shouldn't look at, for receiving what I shouldn't receive. I repent all of those things, and I embrace what You're going to bring to me. I'm going to come out of my current season, and I'm going to come into the changing season. I'm going to let You change me. And because if You change me, You'll change my season. Can I be honest with you? Come on. I need this season. Because there's things in my life that I didn't even know that needed to be changed. The trouble of the devil just reveals the love of God to me. The trouble of the devil reveals that I can be purified as through the fire seven times. That I can be different than what I once was. That I can see things and I can believe God and I can trust God. And I can speak out what God says about the situation and I can see it forever changed. Amen? Notice what it says. Verse 13. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and Jesus is in the midst. He's in the midst. He's in the midst of your trouble right now. There was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flames of fire. See, if we get to the point where we can turn and see Jesus in the middle of the church, in the middle of you, in the middle of me, and we look Him in the eye, the fire of the Holy Spirit, this fire here, it means fire that burns and it polishes brass. See, everything that in your life that's dull, everything in my life that's dull, everything that needs to have a touch by the fire of the Holy Ghost, it can come into our life and it can burn all the dross out and it can shine and it can reflect only Jesus. He's the answer. Amen? Now notice this. This is where your source of victory, my source of victory tonight. And His feet were like unto fine brass. Come on, because of the fire, and as if they had burned in a furnace, and His voice is the sound of many waters. Now you and I, we're supposed to put everything under the feet of Jesus. We're in Him, He's in us, He's the head of the many-membered body. Now what did the Word say? And His feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. If you and I stand in Jesus Christ, everything that's coming against you that's ungodly, that's unrighteous, this fire that is burning in His eyes, that's going through His body and out His feet, it's going to burn it out of your life. See, Moses in his greatest despair, John in his greatest despair, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is showing them that season that they went through that was so current and it seemed like it was never going to change. It was going to take them to the climactic point of their life. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? It all comes by hearing God's word and taking it one step at a time. Hold your place here. Let's go back to Exodus. Let's look at Moses again. In Exodus chapter 3, he says in verse number 5, God talking to Moses, he said, "Draw not hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou stand, where you're standing is holy ground." He wants you and I to recognize and realize that the things that we have confidence in, the things that we're standing on, it's not real, it's not lasting. But when we take off the things of the natural that we're comfortable in, and we reverence Him, and we stand in the one who has the eyes of the flame of fire and His feet as burnished brass, it can burn away and it can change everything in your life and my life. Now, can you just get a picture in your mind's eye of Moses standing there, and there's that bush? And you know, this was normal. I mean, it's so hot in this desert here at Horeb that things catch on fire. They just instantaneously all the time. But the bush burns up. But see, God does not destroy good things. You are a good thing. Come on now. God blood bought you. He lives in you. And so the thing that the devil is trying to use to destroy you, God can use it to burn everything else out of your life, out of my life. But we got to be in this place, in this position where we go, God, I'm going to reverence you. I'm going to take off what I'm trusting in. I'm going to take off what I'm comfortable in. I'm going to take off in where I've walked and the way I've walked and talked before, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to put on brand new shoes. I'm going to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen? Now, see, God has a plan for you that's bigger than you can imagine. Look what it says in verse number 7. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Verse 8. "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and large, into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite." 6 enemies. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." Now notice, he says, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." You've got to see that just because life has detours, that the desire of your heart, because you have delighted yourself in the Lord, and the Lord has put that desire in there, and it looks like it's impossible for it to come to pass, God can reorchestrate. He can recompute. How does Tim Hawkins do that on that recompute on the GPS? Your life can be recomputed, and you can end up right where you need to be. Isn't that something? So here, all of a sudden, think about where Moses has come from and where he's at. And all of a sudden, God says, "My original plan for you that you got out of season for is still there. My call on your life, my will for you, my plan for you is still there. You just didn't see the season. You didn't understand the season. You didn't understand the timing." But see, he's wanting Moses to get his focus off himself. Tonight, we need to get our focus off ourselves. This is bigger than our moment that we're in. Your life is about serving a God that wants to use you to the fullest of your ability. You don't even know. I don't even know what we can do. I want you to know that I tremble sometimes thinking about what God is going to do in us and through us. because my flesh does not want anything to do with it. But I'm telling you, you're going to see divine favor like you've never seen before. You're going to walk into places and situations that you thought, how did I get here? Only God put me here. You're going to have influence with people, and God is going to use you as a mouthpiece. He's going to use your hands. He's going to use your feet. He's going to use you to show His love, His plan, and we're going to see people change forever because we're willing to what? We're willing to turn and see what God is saying. We're willing to lay down what's comfortable, and we're willing to see that God's plan is bigger than just me. God's plan is bigger than just you. See, the devil wants you and I to focus on the center of the storm. And as long as I'm just focusing on the center of the storm, I'm missing that in the middle of the storm, God wants to use me. God wants to use you to touch all those other people. Amen? So he causes Moses, just like he did, we won't take time to look at it, but he caused John to refocus and say, John, it's not about you being on this island. Moses, it's not about you being in this desolate desert. It's about what I'm going to do in and through you from this moment on. Amen? Okay. Now, here's what you've got to cast down in the name of Jesus. In verse number 11, Moses said unto God, Who am I? Now, in the name of Jesus, when the devil tries to put that question in your mouth, if you cannot say, I am the Son of the Most High God, I'm the daughter of the Most High God, then by the name of Jesus, you say, Lord, shut my mouth. If you cannot say what God says, don't say a word. But when you're in a place and a position, when you start questioning who you are, you've got to go back to what you have seen. You've turned from the natural, and you've seen God's promise. You've seen God's provision. You're looking through the eyes of the flame of fire that has it coming out of His feet. And you're allowing Him to guide you and direct you. Amen? You're allowing Him to take you where He would have you to go. And who are you? You're a child of the Most High God. You're an anointed vessel. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have the unction to function. You have the ability to bring the will and the plan of God into this earth. Amen? That's who you are. Now, if we will just be in the place and the position where we'll say yes to God, He is going to take us through season to season, and you're going to get stronger and stronger. Look what he says starting in verse number 20. I want you to be in the place and position where you speak this out over your life. This is what God said He would do through Moses. This is what God will do through His children. Amen. He said, I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite Egypt with all my wonders. How did God's hand get to Egypt? Yes, ma'am. How's God's hand going to get in the middle of your situation? Through the deliverer. Moses is the deliverer. Through Jesus in your life. Amen. But you've got to use your hand. God, you've got to say, God, here's my hands. Use me. Use me in this bondage situation. Egypt is always a type of bondage. Egypt is a type of burdens. And you've got to see that God has placed in your hand the ability to raise up His will, His word, His plan. Jesus, and see victory come. Amen? Now, verse 21. He said, And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. Come on, you need to be in the place and position of where you're at. You're coming out of bondage. You're coming out of a struggle, out of this season where the devil has tried to steal, kill, and destroy you. But God said, you're going to come out of this season. You're going to come out with a lot more than you went in with. Think about it. They went in, they were in a famine. There were 70 of them, and they come out. They were 2.5 million. We know there were 600,000 men. So if you add the women and the children, there was probably 2.5 million. They went from 70 to 2.5 million. Now, that's people. That excites me. I want to bring some people out of this world, don't you? I want to bring them into the kingdom, out of bondage. So you have that promise, but you have this promise. that whatever you need, God will bring it to you to build His temple. Because look at verse 22. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. In other words, God, He's faithful. He sees everything that you do, everything that I do. He saw everything they did for 430 years, and He repaid that generation. Come on now. That's your God. Spoil the... We're not talking about hurting people. We're talking about taking back from the devil. God is a good God. He wants you blessed in every area of your life. The devil is the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. You and I, we have authority in the name of Jesus to spoil and to bring back. Because Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 2, He went and made a show of the devil openly, publicly. And so it's up to you and I now to recognize what Jesus has brought back to us and to be in the place and the position to receive it and to give it back out. Ye shall, God didn't say He would do it. I got to do it. You got to do it. It's time that we stand up on the Word of God and we do what He would have us to say. Okay, quickly, turn over to the 15th chapter. I want you to be able to sing. See, we've got to sing the song of victory. Donna, all the time, she'll poke me and she'll say, "You're getting really close to murmuring." Thank God for a faithful wife, amen, or a faithful partner in Christ, somebody, the brother or sister that can help us to refocus sometimes. Come on. Because you and I, if we get into murmuring, we get into a place and a position where we open up the door for the enemy, but we got to have the song of victory. Now look at Exodus 15. This is Moses' song. Verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown in the sea. Now for you and I to have the promises of God being manifested in our life, where we're in a place of talking by faith, singing by faith, living by faith, you and I have got to see the Red Sea of the swallowing up every enemy in our life before it happens. We've got to believe what God has for us before it happens. And if you believe it before it happens, then because you're in the place of faith, you're going to see it happen quicker. You're going to see it happen, and He is going to get all the glory, and He's going to be edified because other people are going to be around your life, my life, and they're going to see your faith talking. Amen? Here's what the enemy is trying to get you and I to do. Drop down to verse 9. The enemy said, why do I care what the devil says? I need to care what God says. Amen? The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. You're concerned about something, some type of division happening. I don't know what it is. Something that could happen that looks detrimental, looks destructive. That's the devil talking. Come on. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. That's what the devil wants you and I. He wants to scare tactics. He wants to paralyze us with fear. But I want you to see what they saw. They saw the whole Egyptian army, all of those chariots. They saw the congealed Red Sea be breathed on by the mouth of God, and it swallowed them up. See, every attack of the enemy is swallowed up by your God. Every lie is swallowed up in the truth of Jesus. But you and I have got to be in the place where we feed on that truth. Amen? Hallelujah. We feed on that. Go back to chapter 3 just for a second. See, this is how we got to close our heart off to anything else. In Exodus chapter 3, God's telling what He's going to do. And look at verse number 12. And He said, God talking to Moses, and He said, "Certainly I will be with thee." In other words, this is assurance that you have that you know what the Word says. God said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Jesus said, "I'll be with you." So that's your confidence. "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." Now, He gave that literal promise to Moses. And you can go to the 18th chapter, you can go to the 24th chapter, and you can see Moses there on this mountain. It come to pass just like God said. But what I want you to see, how do you apply it in the New Testament church, and how do you apply it in your life tonight, is that you respond, you turn to see what God is saying to you, and you allow what He says to you to cause you to reverence His Word above your situation, above your circumstance. You put off the natural, you put on the spiritual, and you allow Him to show you the other side. You allow Him to show you your changing season, but allow Him to show you your climactic season, and He'll give you a glimpse of you in the place of standing on top of what once was trying to stand on top of you. And you're worshiping the Lord. He's become the Lord of the mountain. See, the Bible says that whatever someone sows, that's what they reap. Well, everything that is being sowed against you that's negative, they're going to reap that. And what was going to try to be a curse in your life is going to be a blessing. And what was going to swallow you up, you're going to swallow it up. You're going to stand on top of the trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if you're excited or not, but I feel electricity all around me because I feel expectancy. I feel hope because God has given us a word for the situation, for what the Spirit of God spoke to Brother Donnie. Tonight, you and I, we can leave here in a place of knowing that God ministered to us. But not only did He minister to us by His Spirit, He gave us a word that we can walk out. See, we've got to always have a word to hold on to. We've got to have the word is what brings the faith to be able to do the impossible. The word is God's will. And God's will is revealed by the word. And so tonight you and I are in a place where we can see that we don't have to be bound. We don't have to be in a place of limitation or hindrance in any situation because God wants us to turn to see Him. He wants us to know that when we turn away from what we're looking at, we're going to hear a word. We're going to hear His voice. And it's going to be a voice likened to that we've never heard before. It's going to create a vision in our life that, can you imagine this? Just close your eyes just for a minute. Holy Ghost, help us. Help us to be able to see this. Help us to be able to see John the Beloved on that island, on that rock island, and how he went from one moment of time of seeing everything cut off to seeing that Jesus, the one who said he'd always be with him, was right there. Help us to see that in the midst of all of this situation, Lord, that you're right here and that you have a word of destiny, a word of hope, a word that will be as fire shut up in our bones, that we will speak out, that we will decree, and it will create a prophetic atmosphere of change. Lord, touch draw right now and help us to be able to yield everything we've got to you and be forever changed. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight? Would you come and just give everything you've got to Jesus? Come and let Him help you in this situation. Come and make sure that you hide this word in your heart. I've got to hide it in my heart. Because I don't want the devil to be able to be as a fowl of the air and come and distill it out of my life. I want it to take root right now. I want to put it to practice. And I want to go to the next level. And I want God to be glorified in and through every situation. Would you come and give it to Jesus? Hallelujah.